Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hey, it's J. Michael Michael for LA Talk Radio. If you're like me and love talk radio, but you can't find anything worth listening to on the AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune in to LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all from sports to music to self-help to just about anything, including talk. And right now we have the new writer's favorite show, The Writer's Block. So sit back, pour some more wine, grab another box of chocolates, because it all starts right now.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Bob Brill, only on LA Talk Radio.
I saw her timeless beauty through the prism of my youth. Lofty peaks where eagles soared, a fundamental truth. A vision of forever, a voice that spoke of home. A promise of safe haven, carved in wood and stone. And I heard Colorado calling. I heard Colorado calling. But the young are full of flight and fancy, always moving on.
Something that is Jim Jones and Colorado Calling. He's our guest and this evening on The Writer's Block. I'm in Jim Christina, and this is The Writer's Block. Of course, we're on LA Talk Radio. I'm in studio tonight with Bob Brill.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, we have Bobby Jean Bell back there in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hello.
And we're going to get right into it tonight because we have a very special guest. But right now, we got to start the show with...
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the prairie schooners at sea. Let's go to press.
All right.
Absolutely zero fanfare. A new Western opens in theaters today. The Kid is directed by Vincent D'Onofrio and stars Ethan Hawke, Chris Pratt, and D'Onofrio. And what do these three have in common? They co-starred in the rotten 2016 remake of Magnificent Seven.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
What a bad one.
It was terrible. But happily, judging by the trailer... which you can see, oh my gosh, my computer screen just went dead on me.
and you have no memory.
Well, what?
Hey, Henry, you get the typewriter out.
I do.
Oh, Lord. But what I was going to say is that the trailer looks very good, and you can see it on Henry's Western Roundup Facebook page, and as I said, it looks very interesting. It's about a young boy who witnesses the confrontation between Pat Garrett, played by Ethan Hawke, and Billy the Kid, played by Dane DeHaan. And did you know Harrison Ford is starring in a new version of Jack London's The Call of the Wild?
Did not know that.
That's cool.
It's in post-production now. It's, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a great story of the Yukon Gold Rush,
right,
which London wrote from the point of view of the St. Bernard named Buck, who's kidnapped and sold to prospectors.
So does Harrison Ford play the dog?
You know, that was my immediate thought because I saw that it was animation. But in fact, no.
Oh my
but
God.
It's 20th Century Fox. It's set for a Christmas release. Now, it's been filmed nearly a dozen times going back to the summer.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is the Clark Gable Loretta Young version directed by Wild Bill Wellman. Charlton Heston did one. Ricky Schroeder did one. There's quite a few. But they've never really been done from the dog's point of view. It's always been about the humans.
Mm.
What's interesting about this new version is, while it's mostly live action with people, the dog is CGI'd.
Really?
That might make it, yeah.
And is there a voice to the dog?
That might really make it work as a dog story.
Yeah, so is there a voice to the dog?
Now, there is no credit at this point as a voice to the dog, so I don't know if I really don't know how they're going to approach it, but we'll see soon.
Yes, we will. Well, Christmas.
Yeah.
So did your computer screen come back?
Well, semi soon.
the way this year is going, Christmas is going to be here next week.
Right. Well, now, we've had some sad losses in the Westerns world the last couple of weeks. Morgan Woodward, the great movie and TV villain, died at 93 after fighting cancer for several years. I'd known him forever. He was the villain in a car chase film called Speed Trap that I wrote my last year in college. I have an interview with him in the current True West, and I was so touched when Morgan's caregiver called me. He told her to be sure to let me know that he'd read the article and loved it.
Oh, that's good.
That's very sweet. He was a great guy. But, you know, actually, but of course, he'd been sick for so long, and he was in 93. It was a much bigger shock to lose Luke Perry.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was a shocker.
That's 52?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he's best known for Beverly Hills 90210, but he loved Westerns, and he made a lot of them.
Yeah, he did. He kind of snuck them in, and you didn't really realize until you saw his name on the on the credits.
That's right. Of course, the big one he did was playing rodeo champ Lane Frost in Eight Seconds,
right.
Fantastic. It was fantastic.
It was. Oh, he also played villain to Lou Diamond Phillips' hero in a remake of Angel and the Bad Man. And he did a bunch for the Hallmark Channel, Johnson County War with Burt Reynolds, Gunfighter's Pledge, before creating the character of the dissipated Judge John Goodnight. And he played him in three very entertaining films, and he also co-wrote those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to interview him twice at some length, and you can find links to those interviews and the ones from Morgan Woodward at the Roundup and on the Roundup Facebook page.
Okay.
And speaking of interviews, I've been preparing an article for True West about the upcoming Deadwood movie, and I've been speaking to Robin Weigert, who's coming back as Calamity Jane.
Yay.
Brad Dourif. Yeah. Brad Dourif is back as Doc Cochran. We talked to him. Maria Casso, who won an Emmy for the show's production design, and she's back doing production design on the movie. And last time I was on Writer's Block, I was telling you about the upcoming upcoming LA Italia Festival.
Right.
Anyone get there?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
I did not either.
So we're losers.
Sorry to say.
What?
Did you make it?
I managed to get the original Django, Franco Nero, for a half hour.
Wow.
And he gave me a wonderful interview about all of his spaghetti westerns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he made a few.
And soon you can read all about those stories and more, and you know where.
Henry's Western Roundup.
Hey,
blogspot.com.
Henry, will you be at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival?
I sure plan to. The one problem I've got, of course, is it's happening at the same time as the TCM Festival. So I haven't got...
Oh, Turner Classics?
Yeah. And for a change, they're actually showing several Westerns. But I've got to find a way to get there. I'm just not sure which day. But, you know, I'll be there.
Well, we look forward to seeing you, even if it's only for a few moments. But we hope for longer than that. I know all the authors would love to see you.
Oh, we love it when Henry comes around.
Henry, if you come, I promise I'll bring some tequila.
SWN
almond tequila.
Almond tequila.
Yeah, and Jim Jones will be there. He's performing with Cowboy Way.
No, I can. I actually sit here in the studio and drink it. So,
all right, Henry. Practice ahead of time. It's a good idea.
There you go. Thanks, pal.
My pleasure. Happy trails, folks.
We'll talk to you next month.
You betcha.
Okay. Be good.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Tonight's guest, we have a country westerner. Let's see. It's Western Music Performer of the Year. I think twice. Am I right, Bobby Jean, twice?
Well, let's see. Jim's right here. Is it twice?
No. Well, I was Western Music Association Male Performer of the Year and Academy of Western Artists Male Vocalist of the Year. You know, I'm not sure how much all that and $5 will get you some coffee at Starbucks.
Well, throw in another $250 and Bobby will share a wine.
Yeah. No charge for the whipped cream.
That's what makes, huh?
He doesn't carry the prizes with him, you know.
Well, this gentleman is a pretty cool guy. I actually met him, 3-4 years ago, Jim? 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago?
Yeah,
something like that.
Probably 3 or 4.
Yeah, and he's been a good friend to the Writer's Block. He's been a good friend to Bobby Jean and Out West, and he's been a good, great friend to the Western Cowboy Association. So please welcome to the Writer's Block, Mr. Jim Jones.
The crowd goes wild.
Hey, you know what? I listened to the CD that you did with Doug Figg and the other guy, the one you sent me.
Yes, Cowboy Way.
Yes, the Cowboy Way.
West.
No, it's the second one. The newest one.
Yes, Go West. Yes, the group is the Cowboy Way, and the CD's their second one called Go West.
Yeah, what a great, great CD that is. So congratulations. It really, really grabbed me.
You worked hard on it.
I mean, I sat and edited books, and I was doing stuff and just listening to that in my stereo, and holy crap, you know, you got to stop and listen because there's so much good stuff in
there. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Some of the guitar work and the vocals are just phenomenal. So kudos.
Thank you.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, if you do good, you'll get good things. And if you don't do good, we'll tell you that too.
No good deed goes unpunished, I think.
I know, huh? You've been a busy boy, Mr. Jones. You're like all over the place.
Well, I like to say it keeps me out of trouble, but I'm not sure that's true.
Well, yeah, I'm not too sure that works either, but, you know. Are you coming down? Are you coming down to Santa Clarita for the festival?
Yes, we are. The Cowboy Way will be there, and since we were there last year, we did come out with the Go West CD. So we're looking forward to sharing that with folks.
Well, again, that is one hell of a CD. And then I haven't heard your new one other than a few cuts, so I'm going to have to get that one and put it in my repertoire.
Jim, I wanted to ask you, you know, regarding music and your music in particular, you know, in radio over the years, you know, the formats of whether it's rock and roll or easy listening or whatever, but CW or country western was always kind of thrown together. But there really is a difference between country, especially modern country, and western music, and I liken yours to western music. And, I mean, how do you see the difference between, or do you see a difference, I guess is what I'm going to ask you.
Well, yeah, I definitely see a difference. I mean, Western music, it's simplistic, but it really is music about with Western themes. It's all about the West. I think in a lot of ways, just production-wise, Western music is closer to folk music than it is to country music with more electric instruments and pedal steel and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's the differences between Western and country are... significant.
I particularly like the 3 and 4 part harmonies that you guys get going up. It just gives me goosebumps to listen to it.
Well, I'm glad you like it. You know, and we take some of that from, you know, traditions like the Sons of the Pioneers, but we also draw on like the Eagles and some of the great classic rock groups as well. So,
well, you know, if you can't emulate what's really, really, really good. You know,
steal from the best. That's our motto.
Exactly. and then run.
Was it Quentin Tarantino said, good writers write, great writers steal? But
yeah.
when you go into.
I'm going to steal it.
Yeah. And that's a steel guitar. So I was like, is there a mindset that you have to go in to when you get ready to compose and put together an album or a CD as it is today, when you sit down to write the music or perform the music that you're going to do for this, do you have to sit down and break that up and say, I'm not going to go here, I'm not going to go country, I'm going to keep it Western, or maybe I'm going to do a little bit of this lick, a little bit of that lick, or whatever?
Not initially. I think, because Doug and I are both active writers, both solo, and then we co-write, and our third member, Mariam, who's this incredible German guy who's the most fantastic musician and producer I've ever worked with. We write what what's on our minds and you know, kind of what's important to us. And then we sort of sift through it after that. And then, you know, at some point we do start thinking, okay, how do you present this in a way that conveys the theme and the feel that we want to convey? But yeah, it starts out basically with just what we're thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, being a musician myself, or I used to be, not any longer, but, I always usually tried to write a melody first and then see where the melody took me and then write the lyric. But there were times when I wrote the lyrics and then tried to shove a melody down its throat. So which way do you prefer? Because I'm fairly certain you probably do it both ways.
Well, yeah, you know, it's when people ask me that, I usually say, when they say which one comes first, words or music, I say yes. But
yeah, exactly.
More often than not, I'll start with an idea and some lyrics before getting into kind of developing the melody and the chord mm-hmm. structure. When we co-write, Doug and I, we kind of put together the lyrics and we take them to Mariam, and he says in his German accent, "I think there's a song in there somewhere." And then he comes up with some great chord structure and something innovative we would have never thought of in a million years. So that's a great collaboration process for us.
Well, I've noticed, and especially listening to your latest CD with the three of you, I noticed that you're using some chord variations that are not usually used, not only in Western music, but country music. And it seems like you've made it almost your mission to really get some complicated chord changes and stuff in there. And I caught a few of them, and I thought, what the hell are they playing? But, you know, it all worked.
Well, that's because Mariam came up with them, and we were thinking, what the hell are we playing?
You know, when somebody throws a C augmented second seventh on you, you know, you go, what the hell is that? And then you find out it's one finger on one string. You know,
I'm assuming those are musical terms.
Yeah,
that you're throwing.
Yeah, they are actually.
Now, yeah, I when it comes to music, I'm not.
Here's one. A suspended seventh, great chord.
Okay.
Great chord. Can use it for anything.
Well, I was really intrigued when you mentioned the Sons of the Pioneers, because one of the albums that my father had that I grew up on, when I would get the record player out, and there was about eight albums, and one of them happened to be the Sons of the Pioneers, and I would listen to that a lot, And two of the songs I remember were Idaho Joe and Cool Water.
And, Cool Water.
Yeah, it was time. Like, you know, and Sweet Betsy from Pike was also on there. But when you sit down and when you look at modern music today in your field, how much of that goes back to what the Sons of the Pioneers did and people from the groups from that era and Roy Rogers and everybody else and Gene Autry and that whole genre?
You know, I think probably the thing that's the most influential for me personally about the Sons of the Pioneers is if you go back, I mean, people think of that as traditional and iconic Western music, but when they did it, it was cutting edge. I mean, they were bringing in, you know, what you just said about the chord structures and that sort of thing. They were bringing in things. Bob Nolan, I mean, he came up with some swing and jazz influences mm-hmm. in that music. Mm-hmm. And I think that whole idea of a mentality of let's push the envelope a little bit and experiment and take it somewhere a little different from where it's been and see what happens while still maintaining that. I mean, you can't get any more Western than Tumbleweeds or Cool Water.
Cool Water, yeah, for sure.
The music to that is not the same as Little Joe the Wrangler. I mean, it's just real different.
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a couple seconds and listen to Little Jim Jones here that he was good enough to send us along. And this is Jim Jones, and his song is called Cool Ride.
Gonna ride this trail, ride it straight and true. And I hope at the end of the day this trail takes me home to you. Cause we all need a home we can ride back to. When the sun's going down and you're tired and your day is through, I could use a good horse to carry my load. Cause we all need a little bit of help sometime just to get on down that road. I'm gonna treat him good, I'm gonna treat him kind. I'm gonna treat him like I'd wanna be treated if the load was mine. When the cold wind blows,
and the Thunder Bowls.
Now, Jim, that is more of a swing song, I would assume.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. We kind of caught that as soon as it started playing. Bob and I are looking. So, wait a minute, that's...
And I was looking at Jim,
like,
I said,
that's like Western swing.
Yeah, it's like Bob Wells and the Texas Playboys.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, Texas or the Bob band, the Bobby Jean used to have, the Texas... What were they, Bobby Jean, the swing band?
Well, there was Cow Bob.
No, it was like the Texas Dead People swing band or whatever
the
way
Texas,
it worked.
Texas Dead People.
The Hot Texas Swing Band.
Jim's been reading his own books too much lately.
I really do. I, you know.
I hope Alex isn't listening.
we're going to get, speaking of books, we're going to get into your books, The Light of the Cimarron, after the break here, Jim. But I'm fascinated talking with you about music.
Well, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. You know,
although I wish I had some wine and chocolate, but it's fun.
Well, let me go in the kitchen and
I'm sure Bobby Jean can probably find some somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there.
Anyway, we have like almost a Texas swing or a Western swing, and then you guys get into, like you said, folk music, where you have some really intricate guitar work and like you actually have a woman in there too, like four part harmonies, which is almost, and then you almost are blowing into the folk side. And I've heard your other Western stuff, like the last time you were on the show, I believe did we play Race with the Wind?
We may have.
Yeah, I believe we did, which is a great song. We're going to hear a little bit of that a little bit later. But I'm enthralled just to talk to a musician that's got the quality of work that you have, Jim.
Well, thank you.
Well, sure.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned pushing the envelope, and this is one of the things I always like to ask musicians. If you had your druthers, if there's one thing that you'd like to do, but you either you can't for some reason, or your group doesn't want to, is there one thing out there that you would like to do to push that envelope beyond where you've pushed so far?
Wow, that's a question.
Gosh. We could do a cowboy rap album, but
you know what? Don't laugh. That could probably down the road
well,
with you.
Isn't that what? The guy did.
Joe or whatever. I don't really think so.
I think we're
already doing the sort of things that we want to do, and we try to do them to the best of our ability, and then trust our listeners. And you know, actually, it's funny because the listeners are not the ones who say, "Well, you can't do that." I mean, if you do something well and they like it, they like it.
Well,
they
sure.
Don't care whether it fits in the pigeonhole that you're supposed to be in. So that's kind of what that's all I'm mostly interested in.
You know, they see Jim Jones on a album cover, your name on the album cover, and if the inside is as good as the picture on the outside, they're going to like it, regardless of what the genre is. I mean, yeah. I just think that you know, you've made a niche in this whole community out there, and your name is everywhere. And I follow you on Facebook, of course, and, I mean, you're always running around. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're up here doing this in Colorado, and then you're over in Texas, and you're down in New Mexico. And
mm-hmm. He's on the road a lot. One thing that I just like to say, as somebody who has had the opportunity to see Jim perform a solo as well as with the Cowboy Way, you know, CDs is not always the same sound that you hear when people are live. And what you hear on a Jim Jones CD is what you're going to get. When you have the opportunity to see him perform, what you hear on the Cowboy Way is what you're going to get.
Well,
and you'll just get a little bit of banter and humor and some, you know, some jokes and things.
Some which you might not want, but.
And they also these are guys that are historians. They know, and I find that with most musicians, you get talking about the genre, they know the history. And because Jim is also writing Western stories, I mean, these guys, you get talking to them and they're historians. And so that also comes out in their performances. So I just would like to say, if they're coming anywhere near you, wherever you're listening from, you want to see them live. You won't be disappointed.
Well, I'm sure that it's infinitely better than seeing them dead.
Hear, hear.
I was wondering why I say, you know, like Friends is filmed before a live audience, really?
Yes. You know, when you mentioned cowboy rap, the singer I was thinking of goes way back with Red Sovine. I always thought Red Sovine was, I mean, to me, that was like rap music for country, for hardcore country, way, way, way back before current rap music. And that went when you.
I always thought it was Jimmy Dean.
Nah, well, yeah, Jimmy Dean too. I mean, it was like just talking through their music.
Well, that's what he did.
Yeah, instead of Red Sovine, you know. And anyway, that's another angle just talking about.
Yep. Yeah, well, Jimmy Dean, I mean, now he's got his commercials back on the air, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Jimmy Dean." I keep saying, "Yeah, and you're dead." Yeah. You know, but your sausage is still good.
Yeah, well, sausage is still alive, thank goodness.
All right, we're going to take a couple minutes out here, and we're going to be back with Bobby, you have your ad?
I do.
And we're going to be back with Jim Jones in just a minute.
Thinking about Jimmy Dean. did you want me to do that now?
I think now would be a good time, Bobby. Okay. Take it away.
Has cabin fever got you down? Turn your mind away from winter storms and think spring. Now's the time to refresh your outlook. What events do you have coming up? An outdoor music festival? Trip to the mountains? Horseback ride adventure? Out West Shop has just what you need to revive your spirits and reboot your wardrobe. Cool, hip boho tops, stylish boots from Dan Post, and great-looking jackets are just a few of the fashion essentials offered for men and ladies. Find it all at outwestshop.com. Enter coupon code SPRING and save $10 on your order. Call toll-free 1-877-340-9378. Out West delivers the West door-to-door, coast-to-coast, and around the world. And remember, it's always a great day out West.
J. Michael Michael here for All Dogs Rule. You know, if you're planning a trip and there's no way you can take your canine buddy, how about considering All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover? That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. If you want a place where you know your buddy will be safe and have lots of attention, being able to play with other dogs, goats, sheep, horses, and probably more humans, then All Dogs Rule is the place for you. Acres of play space, grass, orange trees, and the gorgeous Sespe River, all with no stress. And extras if you want. All you need to do is ask. So when your dog comes home, you'll have to ask, whose vacation was better, Spot? So check them out, their website, alldogsrule.com, or give them a call at 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you, and Russ and Karen will thank you, and golly, I'll thank you. All Dogs Rule. When Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. They work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet the client's goals. Creative Edge is your brand, your future. Mickey Mickelson is the publicist, and you can catch them at creativeedgepublicity.com. And it's Mickey Mickelson. Give them an email. It's Mickey Mickelson, or it's M. Mickelson. I don't know. Go to the website, and they'll tell you. It's creativeedgepublicity.com.
Ride this trail, ride it straight. In the quiet of the morning, Los Quineños silently gather. At the stables, the new day has begun. Today they track the Mustangs for Captain Richard King. They saddle their caballos, they ride out with the dawn. Through Mesquite and Chaparral, they press on through the morning to Amargosa Creek, where the wild horses roam.
There they'll gather those wild Mustangs for the Runnin' Dub, your brand. They cut out the finest ones. They bring those beauties home.
You are listening to LA Talk Radio. This is the Writer's Block. It is now 7:30, and we are on the phone with our guest for this evening, Jim Jones, along with Bobby Jean Bell and Bob Brill here in the studio, and myself, Jim Christina. And unfortunately, we can't call and talk to us, but I hope you have a good time listening to Mr. Jones. That was Jim Jones' song, Race with the what, Jim? Help me out. The whole title's not here. The Wind. Okay, The Wind works. I was thinking Race with the Devil, but hey, that was another movie.
It's all about those horses going across the plains.
Yeah, I got that. Okay. As promised, you just finished a book that was that came out what, December?
Lights of Cimarron actually is coming out next month.
Oh, okay, so it isn't out yet.
17th.
Yes. Oh,
yeah, we're lucky.
Now you've got a slew of books that you've written over the years. Lights of Cimarron is going to be your newest and a great story. I must say, it's got lots of shooting and lots of bang bangs and bad guys and good guys and love interests. And it kind of moves right along. You want to tell us a little bit about the book there, Jim?
Sure. It's a second book in a series that's a spinoff. I did three books that have Moon in the title, Rustler's Moon, Colorado Moon, and Waning Moon. They're all set up in northern New Mexico in the late 1800s. And one of the characters that appeared and started in the second book just got bigger and bigger and ended up kind of getting his own book. And so this is the second one in that spinoff series. So.
Okay. And
can I just jump in and ask him a question real quick?
Of Bobby Jean, all you have to do is say, may I? Mother, may I?
Please.
Please.
Now that I live in New Mexico, it's so interesting to me. When I read the first three books, I lived in California. And, you know, the fact that they took place in New Mexico kind of went over, I hate to say it, but sort of went over my, you know, my mind. I didn't really pay attention to specific locations. Now that I'm here, anything with New Mexico just leaps out at me. So when I read The Big Empty and then The Lights of Cimarron, of course, this is all about New Mexico. I just like to ask Jim, what is it about New Mexico, especially this area, because these all take place in kind of the same area, that called you to make that the home base for these series?
You know, it's funny because the title of the first book in that second in the spinoff series, The Big Empty, it really captures the answer to your question, which is, the landscape is such a huge part of the history of this state. I mean, all these things happen, but they happen in this place, and they happen kind of, I don't know, the Big Empty means that it just kind of rolls on forever, and it's plains, and so when you're having people chase each other around, if you were set in a small geographic area where people could sort of see each other, they could probably catch the bad guy quicker, but out there you know you could follow somebody for weeks and months and not find them, and so there's something about the landscape and the mountains. The town of Cimarron, which is prominently featured in all the books, their slogan is "Where the mountains meet the plains," and that's absolutely true.
Well, you know, I mean, New Mexico is such a varied place, too. You have the mountains where you have Albuquerque, then you have Gallup and Santa Rosa and all these other places where, I mean, it is so varied. And I mean, you see things like, you know, the stories of Billy the Kid and all the
Lincoln County.
Yeah. I mean, everything in New Mexico is like, it's like New Jersey. There's no east, west, north, and south. Everything just goes cockeyed.
Yeah, there's no west New Mexico. It's just New Mexico. Yeah. I get that. I've actually put a couple books in New Mexico or through New Mexico.
Well, one of my scripts is set in New Mexico. Yeah. I mean, New Mexico is perfect for so much of what goes on.
It's a great state for setting a story, and I have to say that the story is now I love stories of the modern western type thing. Which is what that's what this is, and it's a wonderful story, and it's just I don't know. I can't say enough about it. It's just they go after the white cap gang and the bad guys, and Tommy Stallings is now the sheriff of Colfax County, and it's just a really great story. Tommy Stallings is the one you're talking about that got his own book, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And
he wants to be called Tom, you know, but everybody's still calling him Tommy. Well, I love that about him. You know, he's growing up.
That's also the New Mexico thing.
Yeah. And Jim does a great job of developing these characters. They're not flat, cliche, you know, characters, which we see a lot of in Westerns, I think. Yeah. Not in the Westerns. You guys write, of course.
No. Of course not.
But I found it really compelling storyline and twists and turns and things you don't expect and, you know, fun read.
Well, that's the kind of what a Western should be. I mean, you never know what to expect. You never know what's around the next arroyo. And I think if you can put that in the book and make people believe it, you got a winner.
Jim, was it a difficult decision to branch off from a main series of stories and then to create a whole new series or a sub-series?
You'd think it would be, but I don't guess so. I don't know. I just sort of did it. I didn't put a great deal of thought into it.
Yeah, so. Nobody ever told you couldn't, so you just did it.
Now you got me thinking, darn.
I think Molly needs a series.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it's like me. I keep bring recurring characters. Like, they'll miss a book or two, but then all of a sudden they'll show up in another book. Caleb Stringfeld's a good example. That's a New Mexico book. He was up at End of Line, and that's where he died. But this book, Jefferson's Chance, is a prequel to End of Line. So.
Ooh.
But I like doing that, and it looks like you like doing that as well. I love bringing characters back, especially if they died in a previous book. Then you can go back and write about them before.
It's a dream.
Especially if they're great characters.
Actually, there's when I sent in a draft to my editor at Five Star Publishing, she pointed out to me that I had one of the bad guys had been killed, and then I brought him back like 80 pages later, but it wasn't on purpose. So we kind of fixed that. But
God, don't you hate that when that happens? You forget you kill somebody off, and you go back and look. Or how old they are, or what year it is. Continuity.
I know, it makes you read your own stuff again.
I know, huh? Well, okay, Mr. Jones, when do you find time to write? You're a busy guy.
I try to, when I'm on the road, which is probably about half of every month, but not necessarily in a 14-day stretch. So when I'm on the road, I don't really have time to write or the opportunity. But when I'm at home, I try to structure my time so I'm writing, you know, an hour or two a day at least, and doing a little editing. So and until something gets in my way. But that's my plan, and I stick to it pretty well.
Sure.
And he's blogging regularly again now, too.
Well, that's writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you prefer the morning or the evening to write?
I like to write more in the morning.
Okay. That works.
I think that's when I'm the sharpest as far as creativity. Then I can, you know, I can rehearse or I can do mindless stuff on Facebook or whatever in the afternoon, and it doesn't require as much focus.
So. Yeah, Facebook doesn't require a lot of thinking, does it?
Well, time, yeah, it does. You got to think what you don't want to write.
I know.
Time.
Yeah.
I wrote a big old post the other day, and I saved it to draft, and then I said, nah, I don't want to put that out.
I've done that before. You're just going to piss too many people off.
I have another question for him. Can I ask another question?
Bobby Jean, you can take the whole show. Bob and I will go get some coffee.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
No. I'm trying to not.
Go ahead.
You don't need me on this show. Okay, so... getting back a little bit to just character development, he writes some really bad guys.
Yep.
And I know, Jim, you write some really bad guys.
Yep.
Bob, you do too. So I'm curious always about how nice guys like all of you come up with these really bad guys.
I'm not a nice guy.
Yes, where did you ever get
alter ego?
Where did you ever get that thought? I'm not a
nice. The nice guys, because you also write nice.
Oh, I write good guys too. Sure. Well, I'll let you go first, Jim, because she's sitting right next to you, and she's liable to hit you. So,
Thank you.
Sure.
You're a nice guy.
Yes. Talk to my wife.
My villains are sort of composites of some historical figures, and I go to that font of wisdom and information, the internet, and research, you know, outlaws of the old West. And so I found some characters who've done some pretty appalling things and sort of put them together. The other part of it for me is that I was a psychotherapist for about 40 years. And so I knew some really bad people. I know how evil human beings can be. And sometimes without even any explanation at all. And so I throw some of those in there too, the real bona fide sociopaths. But, so it's a combination of some historical research and then also just delving into the darker parts of my imagination.
I think that's what happens with me, too. I just come up with, usually if I'm looking to write bad guys, I'll come up with names that fit bad guys first.
Yeah.
Like Stinky.
Yeah, Stinky is a good one.
Stinky is, and you know, I mean, then as you're writing Stinky, you got to figure out how bad is he going to be. Well, he's going to be bad.
He's really bad.
Yeah, you know,
for me, I was so happy when he got his comeuppance
with a knife.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's being a newsman for most of my life and a lot of my career. I kind of see the bad guys as the guys we always challenge: the politicians, the corporate heads of industry, corporate people, that type of stuff. They're all bad people. And so I kind of try to make those my guys. And then my bad guy hero has always been Machiavelli, you know. And I look at that, and here's a politician who was one of the most dastardly human beings in history, but he was probably the most logical guy in history. And I kind of get that into my head sometimes when I write my bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you, Jim, but I get a real kick out of writing bad guys. And I'm guessing you probably do, too.
Well, it is kind of fun because I think that however compelling your hero or protagonist is, if your villain isn't equally compelling, you're not going to have much of a story.
Exactly.
There's got to be that conflict and tension there. Mm-hmm. And if it's not there, it's kind of a dull story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to put in like periphery bad guys and then really bad guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just guys you can just shoot and dispose of.
Yeah. Disposable characters, I guess we can call them. You know? Like, it's fun stuff. And when you're writing, you write in the morning. And do you have a word count that you like to do a day when you are writing, or did you just... like maybe a chapter or a couple pages?
I shoot for about 1,000 words each day that I write. I wish I wrote 5 days a week. I don't always get to do that, but sometimes I get on a roll and I go twice that much, and sometimes it's like squeezing water out of a stone.
But, yeah. You
know, so that's my goal generally.
Yeah, that's me too. I try to do X amount of words, and sometimes I just can't even manage to turn the computer on, you know. Yeah. And if I do, that solitaire game is looking at me and I'm saying, okay.
You got to play this on your phone, Jim. You can't put them on your PC, you know.
Well, Bobby Jean, seems like you're sitting right next to the gentleman. You want to ask him the question?
I'd be happy to. So, Jim, this show is called The Writer's Block. Do you ever experience writer's block when you're creating? And if so, what do you do about it?
I don't think I experience writer's block to the point where I'm paralyzed and I can't write. I think, I mean, there's days that maybe it would have been better had I not written, except that whatever you write, even if it's, can I say a load of crap? Okay, good.
You can.
Sure.
Generally speaking, if you go through there's something in there that's redeemable, or if not, it makes you think, oh, well, heck, this is where I should have gone. Or, you know, so almost anything, as long as you're writing something, I don't think you've got writer's block. I mean, you got maybe writer's cramp. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
or pause.
Yeah. But so it's, and the other thing, I think when you ask what I do about it, I try to be proactive. I try to have kind of an idea about, you know, actually one of the things I do that's real practical is at the end of whatever time I've written, I write in red, I type in red what the next scene needs to be or what the next little passage is going to be about. Mm-hmm. And that just prompts me. And so when I come back, and then I think about it between the time I quit and the next time I write, I'm thinking about mm-hmm. that and come up with some things. So that helps me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you edit yourself when you write?
I go back and edit. I don't write, edit when I'm in the process of writing something. Mm-hmm. I just let it kind of flow, and then maybe I'll go back the next day and look at what I wrote and pick it at a little bit. And then actually I'm also, the book I'm working on right now, I'm kind of writing on it, and then I'm going back to the beginning and editing from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, and I have a wonderful editor at Five Star, and she just kicks my butt, but she's wonderful and I love her. And so I trust that she's going to kind of keep me on the straight and narrow, the parts that I miss, which happens a lot, but
sure. Does it bother you when your editor cuts pieces out?
You betcha. It really irritates the heck out of me. And that's why I don't respond immediately.
Me too.
You ever put them back in?
Right. Yeah. If I hadn't wanted it to be in there, I wouldn't have put it in there.
You've done something wrong, and then compound it by saying, "What are you doing?" Yeah.
Have you found, Jim, though, as you've gone through the process with an editor, do you find that the more that you write, the lessons you learn through the editing of the other books has caused you to be a better writer right off the bat?
I'd like to think so. I guess that's the optimistic way of looking at it. I like to think that I'm making new mistakes and I'm not the same ones.
Right. Right. Well, you find yourself getting better with each book too, don't you?
I think so. I feel like it. I mean, I guess the ultimate guide for that is the readers and what they think. But I feel like I'm getting better at what I'm doing.
Sure. We're going to have to – God, we're out of time. Jeez, mm-hmm. It's just hours just – or 50 minutes just flew by. Well, can you take a couple minutes and give our listeners your email and your website and where they can find you?
You betcha. If you go to jimjoneswestern.com, that's my website,
okay.
My fancy website designed by Mid-State Design, Corey Kretzinger out of Minnesota, where they're freezing their tails off. January's gone on for 3 months now.
Oh, yeah.
And they can, you can see my schedule for music. You can, all of my books are, and the more recent CDs are available there.
Excellent.
I do want to put in a plug for the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. The Cowboy Way is going to be there along with a bunch of other great musical performers. And I think there's some authors that are going to be there. And it's always a great time there. And if you're in the LA area, it's just a little jog up north and you're there. So,
yeah.
And
yeah. And it's free admission.
The second weekend in April.
April 13th and right. 14th and free admission.
Right. Free admission.
Jim, good. I don't have to pay to get in.
No.
One final question for you, Jim. And I have to ask you this. Would you take your favorite song off this new album and sing us a couple of acapella bars? Take us out.
Well, we can't take us out because we have announcements.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, can you give us to wrap up?
You really want me to do that?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. I'd love you to.
Okay. Okay, this is the first song on the CD. And it starts out with the Bonnie Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, and it's about a Scottish cowboy who's an immigrant. And then the first verse is, "Born in the Highlands, the cattle kept us fed. As a wee lad, I came to be a drover. Underneath the stars is where I made my bed, living on black pudding with a whiskey chaser." I hope that's enough.
I was amazed that when I first played that first song, it was "You Take the High Road and I'll Take the Low Road." And
I'll
I didn't even know you were Scottish.
I just did an Ancestry.com thing, and actually I have a great deal of Scots and Irish heritage.
Oh, so. Well, yeah, I guess with a name like Jones, you would.
And Welsh. Jones is pretty much Welsh.
Right, right. Well, Jim, thanks for
deal with me.
Thanks for coming out and spending 50 minutes of absolute misery with us, and we appreciate your time and appreciate your new book is The Lights of Cimarron, and it will be available on Amazon.
Yes.
Okay, and it'll be next month or month after.
Should be available next month. It's coming. The publication date is April 7th.
Okay. So April, it's available, and you can Amazon or actually from Jim's website, I'm going to assume. And and you can catch him.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, go to his email and his JimJonesWesternMusic.com. And thank you again, Jim, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Oh, it was great having you back. Take care. I'm not going to be able to see you this year, but I'll be thinking about you at the Cowboy
Festival.
Okay,
we'll see you soon then.
Okay, good enough. And we have the Cowboy Festival coming up, of course, on the 13th, 14th of April. And there will be some authors there. I can look in at one right now.
I'll be there.
He'll be there. Bob Burrell will be there, and JR.
Eric. Eric Kaiser's going to be there.
Eric Eisner, and well, it's hard to get rid of Eisner. It's like, you know, he's like a bad cold.
Gail Jackson, Margaret Brownlee, Courtney Joyner on Saturday. We got a whole lot of folks.
There you go.
And I'll have some DVDs of Sundown as well.
There you go. And, of course, your Lancer series.
Yep. Donated to the prize, the whole
excellent,
series.
Excellent. And next week we have a friend of Bobby Jean's that's going to be here, Judy Coder. She is just a superior musician, singer, songwriter. She does several different genres. She does jazz and standards and Western and opera and God, whatever, you name it, she can do it. And we're going to be talking about
her new Western opera.
Or her new Western opera, correct. And libretto, which is actually in Italian for words of the song. We'll be joining her next, she's Ellensburg, Washington, I believe, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she'll be joining us, and look forward to having her on, and for Bobby Jean and Bob Brill and Jim Jones and myself, Jim Christina, and Russ Avison, wherever you are, bless you. We are out of here.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride.